Vakto Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastamavidyavishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Adhikarana 3. The Vedas are eternal and infallible. Vilak Sanatva Dikaranam. Sutra reference 2.1, 4 through 6. Adhikarana Pakashika. The Adhikarana ascertains that the Vedas are self-born, eternal, and thus without compare. The eternality of the Vedas was earlier demonstrated by the Sutrakar in Vedanta Sutra 1329, Ataeva cha nityatvam. With the help of examples citing the devatas such as Indra, Yama, etc., it was logically shown that the names and words of the devatas in the Vedas indicate eternal models and remind Brahma to create those forms. At the time of destruction, the Vedas in various forms expressed in their words, which are eternal objects, reside within the Lord endowed with Shaktis by becoming one with Him. When the Lord desires to create the universes, these forms again appear. Hence, the Vedas, without a doubt, are eternal because of the speaking of the Lord, of the breath of the Lord. So they're always there. That's always. It's just a matter of them being manifest to us or not. That's another thing. But we can't use ourselves as the the crucible for understanding what's the quality of something. That's the difficulty, because being conditioned, we're always going to look at things from our own perspective. There'll be mistakes. Right? So, therefore, then we always have to look according to the Shastras as given to us by the Acharyas. That's then how one looks at the Veda. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
This Adhikarana comes because of the Sankhya and Yoga Smritis were not aligned in the Vedas and taking...
They're adjusting the Vedas for themselves.
That's why it's coming now?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a third time. This is the father figure.
Yeah.
And this is the third time that we are encountering the same thing, but without the eternal and infallible. Yeah. Because time to time we have these people coming, so it's important to get it with them.
Because your first principle that Lord Chaitanya gives is that you have points that are being made, but those points have to be based on Shastra. So in the Dasa Mula, then the first one is that Shastra is the authority. And that's the first. Then on that base, everything else comes. But what they're doing is they're putting their Prameyas first and then adjusting Praman to fit that. Does that make sense?
You know. All of the six schools, they'll
just
do that?
Yeah, they'll all do it to some degree. Like that. They have to, because otherwise, how do you complete a philosophy that's incomplete without filling it in with your own idea? Right? So you'll take things from the Veda that matches, but then those things that don't, then... Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, I want to do something. And let us say... The Veda also supports that. Then I'm going to quote the Veda, yes, this is what I should be doing. Right? It's actually, I couldn't care less about the Veda other than that others care. Right? If others didn't care about the Veda, would I be quoting the Veda? No. So that's the difference. While those who start with the Veda, they're going to quote the Veda whether anybody else believes in it or not. You know, like that Russian... professor. Prabhupada would quote the Sanskrit. And the professor made the point, I don't understand the Sanskrit. And Prabhupada's point was, it's purifying. Just by hearing it, you'll get purified. I remember in Bombay in 74, then after the festival, then devotees went from here, they all went to, I think, Bombay, Hyderabad, you know, different programs they would go to. And so, then on Ram Navami, then so many locals came to the temple. And Prabhupada gave the lecture, the evening lecture, in Hindi. And so the Western devotees thought, okay, we don't have to stay. Prabhupada says, no, the sound vibration is pure. Whether you understand it or not, it's purifying. So then we all sat there during the Hindi lecture. Like that. So that's the point, is that it's there whether others understand it or not. It has benefit. The Hare Krishna mantra, all these different things. So if people are exposed to them, they get benefited. But here, it's only because they have a particular philosophy. It's supported by the Vedas, therefore they're quoting the Vedas. Otherwise, you see, is that when it doesn't match the Vedas, then they don't rely on the Vedas. They say our own Shastra is enough. So that's the difficulty. That's the point that's being made. And one may say, well, it's been made before, but we have to remember is that there's the living entity takes up material consciousness because of the idea I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. So it's only two things. Right? And then that turns into karma and jnana. So everything that they're doing is always a repeat. That's all. It's just like in our own mind, we'll look at something in one way, then in another way, then in another way. And that way there's so many things. I remember once I was thinking about something that was so complicated. There were so many aspects. So I thought, I got to write this down. And when I wrote it down, there was only one thing. You know, I was shocked because the mind takes it and, you know, it takes the same. You have this rock, you know, okay. You know, it's thin. No, it's very big. No, it's you know, it's vertical. It's horizontal. You know, it's you know, it's, you know, they just take it in so many ways. You look at it. This end's smooth. This end's not. This end's got a, you know, line in it. This one only has two lines in it. You know, so you just go on and on. And it's the same rock. Is that, you know, so that's what we're doing here. Is that going through at the various angles that the mind can come up with to deviate from God consciousness. Then Vyasadeva is catching them on all levels. So the whole idea of Vedanta Sutra, by the end, it leaves no opportunity for them to maintain their bogus philosophies. They have to accept the Vaishnava Vedanta. So, you know, so this is just another way of slipping off, you know. Yes.
When we say that Veda are manifested or not, what it looks like when they are not manifested?
Means they're just with the Lord. It's His breathing. But since we're not manifest, and the creation is not manifest, we can't appreciate it. But it's always there. It's His breathing. The Sama Veda is that Garuda flaps his wings, you get the sound of the Sama Veda. You know, so these things are eternal.
When there are living entities, it's always manifested.
Yes, means then we see it. But yes. The Lord's there eternally with His associates, Mahavishnu, yes. And so they're always appreciating. Yes. So it's an eternal principle. Here, because we're the spiritual world, there's no time and space. Mm-hmm. So then on the material platform, then because you're dealing with temporary, you have to have time and space. Yes. Because temporary means there has to be a beginning and end. But if there's no time, there's no beginning or end. Does that make sense? You know, and because of this, then there's the space that I allot, and I say this is this, that's that. Mm-hmm. So all these, the principles that are there in the spiritual world that are looked at in connection with Krishna, then their variety and all that serving Krishna here in the material world, we take that for ourselves, so we're looking at just the secondary. Right? Because the idea in the material world is we'll become happy by sense gratification. You know, or rejecting sense gratification, liberation. But it's all focused around sense gratification. So sense gratification is the engagement of the senses with the sense objects. Right? But now, in devotional service, that's just part of the process. If the senses are engaged with the sense objects, because then those sense objects are going to be engaged in the Lord's service. And if you don't engage the senses with the sense objects, how are you involved in the transformation to express that devotion? Does that make sense? So that's the difference there, is that the sense gratification is already included. But no one's interested in the sense gratification. They're interested in the connection to Krishna. So it's just called bhakti. Sense gratification is when you're not interested in the bhakti part, what you have left. You know what I'm saying? Let us say I walk into the kitchen, right? And someone has a pot, it's on the fire, and in the fire there's some vegetables, and they're stirring them. Right? What will you say? Right? You know, if you ask them, what are you doing? They'll say, what will they say? I'm cooking. Right? So, that means what's in the pot that's cooking, and the pot also goes along because it's cooking. Now let's say we walk into the kitchen and they just have a pot on the fire and they got a spoon and there's nothing in the pot and they're pushing it around. And then if you say, what are you doing? They'll say, I'm playing with the pots. You understand? That's the difference between the material and spiritual. That's why the material can't give any satisfaction, because you're doing nothing. You're taking the secondary, which is the form that you use to do something, which is bhakti, and you're doing nothing with it. You know? So, now what happens? If it's about the pot, you know, I'm playing with the pots, now how do I, in so-called, increase my pleasure with the pots? Right? I get better quality pots. You know? Or at least what's perceived as better. My pot's better than your pot, so I'm enjoying more than you. You know, look at my technique, how I move the spoon in the pot, you know. Does that make sense? You know, or I got two spoons, hey, you know. You know. Does that make sense? That's what's going on. So the mistake's made that the sense gratification is actually substance and you're really doing something. And increasing the secondary aspects, like getting, you know, facilities and money and position, all that, that you're doing something. But that's only a concept here in the material world. In the spiritual world, no one thinks like that. Because that's not the substance. Right? To cook, you need a pot, but it's not about the pot. It's about the cooking. And because I want to do good cooking, I get good pots. But it's still not about the pots. Right? Does that make sense? Does this make sense? Because I remember when you first came, this is the point we opened with. Because he was saying, no, but without the pot, how do you cook? Does it make more sense now? Yeah. So that whole thing is that we take it that, okay, there's bhakti, and then there's my practical life of playing with the pots. Yeah, okay, we cook when we're in the temple, but when we go home, then we have to be practical and realistic. You know, and not sentimental and all this idealism, and just get down to the real thing of playing with pots. It sounds foolish, right? So when we talk about this, it sounds foolish, but as soon as we shift it over to, no, but I have to make money, I have to this, I have to that, but what's the money for? What's the house for? What's the family for? You know, oh, I have to eat. What's that for? What's the energy for? It's for bhakti. So that's why when Prabhupada says the material things are automatic or they're concluded, this is what's meant. Otherwise, we think it's two different things. We're thinking cooking and playing with pots are two different things. And of the two, means the bhakti has its, you know, good point. You know, the cooking has this good point for, you know, when you're cooking. But in reality, it's playing with the pots is the real thing. You understand? So, who just plays with pots and thinks it's real? Right? Children. So that's why then the Vedas will talk about those who do this as immature or as children. Or like children. You know? And we may complain, no, you can't say that, you know, they're very, you know, senior in society, they do so much, they're so successful. Yeah, they're just successful kids. That's all. You know, within the range of the kids, it's like all the kids are playing, but one of them is king. Right? It's not just any of them are king. It's one of them's king who all the others kind of agree he could be the king. Or he's the loudest and he says he's the king. Right? So, that's what's going on. So we've defined that, yes, if you have this and you have that, then you're the king. You know what I'm saying? So but everybody's idea of what's king is different. Does that make sense? It's just like, let us say, would you say a king should be confident, or a king would be in anxiety? Confident. Okay. Let us say I'm driving around during, you know, busy time in Bombay or Delhi. Okay? Now, if I'm driving, you know, a little small compact car, can I be confident moving through? Right, I can just go for it, right? What if I'm driving an Audi 8? I have to be so careful because anyone touches you, this, that. They don't care. The guy's got an ambassador. He smashes into you. Does he care? No. Yeah, nor the ambassador. For you, oh, it's finished. One scratch, you know, you're done. You know? But like, what do you call it? The ambassador is just a, how you say, what do you say? Like an ornament. You know, it's like those Ramoa bags. The more they're beat up, the better they are. You know, like that. So that's the thing. So the guy's thinking I'm the special one here, but he's the one that, you know, watch this, watch that, and so, you know. So it takes him longer to get through traffic, right? Because the other guy can just jump in and go. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is we define it, but amongst others, they'll say no. They'll have a different idea. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that whatever material group we're in, we say, this is standard, this is good, this is what should be done. But someone, another group of people will be saying exact opposite. You know, like I said, that one devotee moved from Calcutta to Bombay. He got himself a huge flat. You know, it was like, it was probably at least as big as this area here, you know, with everything in it. You know, so it's not a bad size flat, right? And he got himself a little car, you know, like a Wagon R or something. You know, a little, you know, it just gets around, you can park it, you can move through the thing. And then other devotees in Bombay said, no, you're in Bombay, you don't do it like that. He says, you get a big fancy car. He says, no one goes to your house, you get a little dinky place. You know, because, you know, it's one or the other. You can't buy both. So you buy the fancy car, and you live in a little dinky place, because no one will know. Right? And he was saying, he says, it's not about the prestige. He says, when I go home, I want to relax and have my space. You know, that's me. The car is just how I get the work and make the money to take care of me. But their whole thing was, no, it's the prestige and how people see you. And so exact opposite. So that's the thing. And then there'll be someone else that becomes something completely different. You know? So, does that make sense? You know, the snobs that have cars or have apartments or both. And, you know, we live in the slums, you know, and we're the real people, you know. Does that make sense? You know, until the Olympics come along and then they clear everybody out. But, you know, at least it was good while it lasted, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that without basing it on Shastra, you're always going to come down to, I'm the controller and enjoyer, but there'll be a variety of ways it's there, but we'll make the mistake that this is substance. And we'll miss what the real substance is. So since the secondary is where the variety is, we will think that there's so much happening in this materialistic thing because there's so much variety of how I can apply I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. So that makes sense. So that's the whole thing. Then we think there's something really happening when there's not. So that's why there has to be repetition, because we're always repeating the same thing over and over again. And as long as it works, we repeat the same thing, and if someone doubts, then we just shift it a little bit until they stop complaining. Right? So that's how it works. Okay. Despite these evidences, as usual, the atheistic Shankya philosophers argue that the Vedas are imperfect because they depict material elements as having the will to create, etc. But it is the Devatas who force material elements into action. Furthermore, these advocates of Pradhan as the cause argue that the Supreme Lord, who is Sat, real, cannot be material cannot be the material cause of the universe, which is asat, unreal, for, since they are simply bewildered by the power of the Lord's Maya, right? They can't, they're taking it, he's transcendental, so he can't have anything to do with it. So you see, is if they do accept the Supreme, they always deify the Supreme. So the soul comes from matter, or the transformation comes from matter, and God's then aloof from that. So basically, you see, if he's aloof from that, then really what relationship do they have with God? Right? So if he has some aspect of control or whatever it is, or blessings or that, we take that, but it's us, we have to do it, because he's deified. He's separate from it. He has nothing to do with it. So they can't understand is that if he's everything, that means the material energy as an energy is his also, and it's under his control. He doesn't have to directly deal with it. But the point is it's still under his control. So,
Maharaj, very simple thing that we have learned from Prabhupada's books, that 1 minus 1 still equals 1.
Yes.
And this thing that if he's transcendental, then...
So you don't like 1 plus 1 is 1?
Yeah, that also.
Just stick to the gyan side, not the karma side.
So if their theory is beginning with this thing that he's transcendental and matter coming from him, it is impossible. So what Prabhupada taught us, a very simple thing, like, you know, if he's so transcendental, then matter can also come from him, and still he can remain transcendental. So why didn't they understand this?
Because that requires devotion. See, is we're working on the principle that intelligence can understand this. It can't. That's also something we have to get beyond, is that the idea that intelligence and logic will reveal the Lord. So, because we may make the mistake, it doesn't make sense to me, so therefore it's wrong. It's the same principle. Right? You know, the Vedas say this is how we should do things, and it doesn't make sense to us, or everyone around us doesn't do that, and they're successful, so why should I do it? Then this is what these six schools are doing. They have their idea, and they adjust to, they accept or reject the Veda based on how it matches what they say, not the other way around. So if the Vedas say this is the way it's done, we have to look at, well, how does that apply? Right, because the principle will always apply, and then the detail then will come to as close as we can to the ideal standard, the recommended standard. But we have to know what the principle is that's being offered there. Right, and the main principle is it's being offered to Krishna. It's for Krishna. Then within that, then we have the quality of the thing and what's the actually working thing that's there. What's going on? Then you have the specific detail. Does that make sense? So that's that. We have all these different things. You have the bhakti itself, the qualities engaged in bhakti, then the form, the external form that expresses those qualities that are engaged in bhakti. So you get these three levels. So on the material platform, we will take these qualities and the intelligence as this is spiritual. This is the top. When it's not. So all this is pointed out that you can only know the Lord if he reveals. So logic is used simply to catch our attention that it makes sense. But it's only through bhakti you'll understand it, not by logic. Does that make sense? That's why when people approach Vedanta Sutra just with logic, they still don't understand what it is. Then you come up with the Shankara Vedanta. Because they're still trying to approach the Lord through their intelligence. You can engage intelligence in Krishna service, but they want to take that without doing the thing. That's like, I want to take the pots and without putting anything in the pots, say that I'm going to get cooking out of this and I'm going to get satisfaction from this. Think of all the, you know, exercise you get from pushing around the pots and all that, you know, and then by, you know, the heat of the fire and all that, then it creates the sweat, you know, so all the toxins in the body come out like this and that, and then also you lose some weight and all that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, like, what is it, Bikram yoga or something, you know. You know, so all that, you know. So you just make up things that you know, yes, these are side things that you get, but that's not the whole point. Do people cook to lose weight? No. Generally the complaint is the other way around, right? So that's the whole thing, is they just put it together, you know, like that. So that makes sense. You know, they make it up that's important. Is that Okay. Summary of Adhikarana 3. Some followers of Shankhya and Yoga may argue, you may reject the Sharikya Smriti and Yoga Smriti because they contradict the Vedas. But we reject the Vedas because they contradict Shankhya and Yoga. So they're departing from themselves. This is a philosophy we accept. We reject the Veda because of that. This Adhikarana is a refutation to this argument. Vishaya, the principle and sole axiomatic truth in Vedanta philosophy is that the transcendental sound vibration of the Vedic literature is perfect and infallible. Everything else is understood from the original Vedic texts by a process of deductive logic. This path of acceptance is called Avaroha Panta. Shamshaya, now the doubt comes up. Are the Vedas a reliable source of knowledge or not? Right? So we've said that the Vedas, they are the axiomatic truth. This, everything's based on that. And then they're saying, well, are they actually, you know, authoritative, reliable source of truth? And now their argument, it is said, Karya Yajeta Vrishni Kama. One desiring rain should perform the Karika sacrifice. Though one performs the sacrifice, the result is not obtained. This proves that the Vedas are unauthoritative. Right? You want rain, you do the sacrifice, I perform the sacrifice, I didn't get the rain. Therefore, I did the sacrifice, I didn't get the rain, therefore the Veda's wrong. Right? Not that you didn't necessarily do the sacrifice right. You know, the mentality is wrong, the ingredients are wrong, your ritual is wrong, you know, so many things are wrong. You know, you didn't have the right kind of cat in the basket, you know, that kind of thing.
In the Veda, this kari sacrifice is produced rain.
Hey, that's what it says here. So another way, they could do things like that.
But it produces rain without any sacrifice.
The whole point is rain is produced by the authority of the Lord. So if people are doing what they should be doing, they perform their duties nicely and this and that, then it goes on. Otherwise, the Sankirtan Yajna, and that always produces rain. Demigods are pleased, they give rain. Yeah. So you do what pleases them. So, in other words, what you're saying is you should do this sacrifice, but the point is how is that happening because of the demigods? So, if they're pleased, they give the rain. Where does the authority for that come from? That comes from the Lord. So that means that there's a certain nature of the demigods that have to be dealt with in a certain way according to Vedas, then there. So we're saying, I did the yajna, I didn't get the rain, so therefore I'm right, they're wrong, rather than, no, you didn't please the demigods, you didn't please the Supreme Lord, that's why it didn't rain. So the whole point is it's just, again, I can't be at fault, someone else is at fault. So in this case, it's the Veda. So...
Maharaj, say, like when you see a stone from different aspects. So
C-A?
Seeing a stone from a different,
yes,
different,
yes,
aspect. So
right.
Similarly, we can see this from different aspects as well. Like we did the yajna and it didn't happen, the rain didn't happen.
Right.
So, and it could be, we could be wrong or the Vedas wrong, but we don't have that intelligence to actually understand that we are wrong and Vedas are correct.
Yes.
So.
Because it's lack of piety. And so the only way to gain it is through bhakti. It means you can try going through the karmic process, but because that will take you so many lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes, to elevate yourself, in the meantime you could get distracted. So the only way that's actually efficient is bhakti. Right? So then by performance of bhakti you please the Supreme Lord. So since that will give you prema, why should you settle for just some rain?
Prema.
Rain
of prema.
Yes, like that. But even there you want the ocean of prema. Even more than just some rain. Yeah? Yes.
It seems that boys, when they fall away from Krishna consciousness, they give the same kind of argument.
Yeah.
They say process doesn't work, what was promised to me, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the difference between what they say and what we say when we're in, you know, in a bad mood?
we started in a better position and then fell out of that. They started in a less better position and fell out of that. So that they've done some devotional service, then they're different from these persons in that that devotion will remain, unless, of course, they become very offensive to the Vaishnavas. Then they can lose that. Mm-hmm. But the point that there's no real difference. That's why these things are, we may say, is, well, I'm not going to be dealing with the Shankyas and the Yogas and all these. But the point is the principle is the same. Material nature is based on these particular perspectives that Vedanta Sutra gives. Everyone, you know, gives these things as the way to perfect life and everything like that. So Vedanta Sutra deals with that. It's just a matter of being able to see where it applies into. Right? So in this way, when they apply into that, we're taking ourself as the standard and then extending to the Lord rather than starting with the Lord, and we're included in that. You know, and then we're, you know, and then from that, including our conditioning and all these things. So that's what we're trying to get to. So the first thing is connect it to the Lord. So what's happened here is we're not actually connecting it to the Lord, because it's about me and I did my work. Where's my results? So that's karma. But means if you ask, well, why did you do that? You say you're doing that service to get a certain result. Why did you do that? You know, to develop, okay, love for Krishna. So then it's about the devotion. It's not about any other results. Because probably you would, you know, if you did a survey, you'd probably find that it's not a, it wouldn't be a standard thing that someone would give up on Krishna consciousness because they haven't developed prema yet. It's that I put in so much time in this movement. What facility do I have? What respect? No one cares. You know, like this. It'll always be some secondary of secondary aspects. The external form of the thing. I may, you know, worry about certain qualities there. You know, everybody's not nice and wonderful and all this and that. And, you know, so they, so it comes down to it's about themselves. It's not actually about Krishna. So karma yoga means they connect it to, but it's about Krishna. So how are we trying to please Krishna? Krishna's pleased, then we advance. So, and these things come along with it. So we're in some way have not pleasing Krishna. We've given up on that process. So then that comes down to the whole thing of how we have to be careful that we don't forget Krishna. Because that's what's happening, is they're not being Krishna conscious, so they're not getting a result of Krishna consciousness. Because it's not the form that makes it, it's the attitude. So if they maintain the attitude, then the process will continue. But if they give up the attitude and just use the form, then they might find that it doesn't work so good. Because if you don't, what's our natural position in the modes? You know, situated nicely in goodness and following all the Vedic principles and all that. And, you know, like Srila Prabhupada said about Bhakti Trumarj, right? So the whole point is if he has any trouble, he'll just drop from pure goodness down to goodness. Yeah. Right? You know, like that. But if we step out, then this, you know, is passion and ignorance. We say passion and ignorance because we'll feel better. It's actually ignorance. And maybe there's a little touch of passion here and there. You know. So we just aren't going to be able to maintain those activities. A smarta can maintain our lifestyle on a daily basis, because that is what they do. They're situated in goodness, that's what they do. But they're totally materialistic, because they want to follow it to get elevated to the heavenly planets. While for us, who comes from a background that's not goodness, then for us to maintain that as a lifestyle without the pure goodness, because our materialistic desires, you know, we don't see the septic platform as the cause for it, then we drop down lower. So that's why you'll see is they'll be performing the activities with the proper enthusiasm, then that enthusiasm will go, they start to focus on the secondary, then they can't maintain the secondary, because if you fall into a materialistic platform, you have to go back to whatever is your nature. So you can run at that higher nature because of the being infused with bhakti. Then it's spiritualized. Otherwise, it's, you know, the punar musika bhava. You know, you go back to what, you know, back to being a mouse. Is that? So if they just remember why they're doing it, then it connects it again, and then they'll see that there's meaning to it. So, because Krishna consciousness is the consciousness, but there's a form that's used to express the consciousness, just like it's about the cooking, but the pots are used for the cooking, but it's not about the pots. Right? They're important, but it's not about the pots. That's the thing. For us, if it's important, it's about the pots. And if it's not important, we don't need the pots. So we can't get this balance where it's like you need the pots, but the pots are only of value because they can do cooking. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's how you get the karmis and jnanis. It's all about the pots, or it's all, we don't need the pots. You know, it's just all about, you know, it's Brahman, we don't need any activities. And the others, no, we need the activities. Or you can switch it, you know, the sahaja is, oh, we don't need all this, it's just the bhav. We don't need any form. And then the smart, no, we have to have the form. So you can see is they're interchangeable. Because they're both impersonalists, they're both, you know, fruit of workers. So one is an optimistic fruit of worker, and one's a pessimistic fruit of worker. That's all. So,
for the success of any activity, it is important that many factors are involved, and if everything is in the right place, then we get the correct result.
But if everything is in the right place, we get the correct result. So, in which field?
In any field, whether it's material or spiritual.
No, because the spiritual means, but what has to be in place in the spiritual? What makes it spiritual?
Our consciousness is connecting to Krishna.
Yes, so the consciousness connected to Krishna. Now, whether the form of it is in a perfect state or not, it still works because it's connected to Krishna. But on the material platform where it's not connected to Krishna, you don't get the result you're looking for in the transformation of the material energy unless you perfectly follow the laws governing that action.
Mm-hmm. So you, when they perform the sacrifices of the world, this implies that it has failed because, you know, they don't have the connection to the Lord.
They don't have the connection to the Lord, and there's also possible they didn't do it right. But the point is if they were connected to the Lord, and even if they weren't doing it right, but they were sincere, then it would still work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, because it's up to the Lord how it works. But if you're working on the material platform, then unless you come up with a perfect thing, then just like, let's say you go to the store. You don't know the people there, you know, you walk around like you're entitled, you know, you're the customer, customer's always right, and you want to buy something, okay? And you come up and you have all kinds of, you know, you have your attitude, you bring the thing to the counter, you know. Now, how? Let's say that this costs, you know, whatever it is, 100 rupees. So how much do you have to pay to get that thing? 100 rupees. What happens if you only have 95? You don't get it. Come back later when you have the money. Now, let's say you go to your friend's shop, and you're there and you're talking, you're very nice and all that. You bring it to the counter, and then you're going, oh man, I only have 95 rupees. You know, he'll say, yeah, you take it with you, you know, no problem. You know, or if you need, bring it later, if you know, 60 rupees, yeah, whatever, but it's no problem. So it's relationship that makes it work. But we're thinking, no, it's because I'm so expert and I'm so this, and that's why it's working. I'm so intelligent, or I'm so qualified, I have so much knowledge, my skills. Like nowadays, they talk about someone's skill set. No one talks about their attitude, their qualities. It's your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. Basically. Means the devotional side they'll understand easier. Now, they can get easily distracted by the facilities of Krishna consciousness, while someone is more inclined towards jnana won't be. But they also have a tendency to not be so personal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know if it's just a cultural thing. You see that the impersonalists in South, you know, it's very formal. But the impersonalists in the north, they try to be very friendly and nice and all that, you know. Something so it's, you know, so it seems that it's a nicer thing, but ultimately it's impersonal. It's just a matter of in the natural state, they don't want to get involved in the whole social scene and all that. So then engage if they don't require it, then they can do okay. But if they do require it, then they can't actually function very well. Though they can understand philosophy and all that, but only as much as their attachment there means that it's not blocked by their attachment to their intelligence. Because they're thinking, I'm smart, I should be able to understand it. Right? That's the thing, is I'm smart, I can understand anything, including God conscious. No, you can't. Means you have a brain, it can only do this. It's just like I have a pot, I can do everything with the pot. Okay, so cut the subjects with your pot. You can't do it. But, foolishly, someone who has intelligence thinks, I can understand Krishna consciousness because I'm intelligent. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Yes.
Like Prabhu was mentioning before about this fallen devotees and comparison with this.
Yes.
So what I noticed that in any of these cases, there never comes in question like true surrender and humility.
Yes.
So it never comes this in the mind that actually I'm doing something wrong and maybe somebody, the Krishna is right with this.
Yes. No, because it's about themselves. It's not about surrendering to Krishna. Because it's like, I did the surrender, you know, what did I get? You know, or we followed Varnashram, we tried that, it didn't work. It's kind of like, when? Got some dates or something, you know, what, from when to when you tried, you know? Because the bhakti is the devotion, it's not the form. But there's natural forms to use. Just like you want to fry something, use a frying pan. You know, you want to grate something, use a grater. You want to cut something, use a knife. You want to blend something, use a blender. Because they work. But the whole point is if all that doesn't end up as cooking, then what's the point? I just put something in the blender, blend it, and walk off and do nothing with it. It's just a waste of time. You say, no, but it's blended so well. You know? But, you know, nothing's done with it. Is that...
So now, basically, we are trying to cook, but we're trying to get the results, and we're throwing the what is being cooked, and we're just... we want some reason to play with pots.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, it'd be like if, let me say, you know, if like someone, you know, they're eating and said, oh, this is very nice. And then, yes, because I have this pot and I use this spoon and I use this technique and all this, and they just get into, is that what you want to hear when you're eating? Right? You know, it has nothing to do with it. Something, yeah, you know. Well, you see, so many times. So sometimes, you know, these really nice cooks are in the kitchen and they're cooking, and by mechanical theory, you can't understand how this is working, but it is because the attitude's nice and it just all happens. Something, yeah. Okay, Sutra 2.14. Na vilakshanatvad asya tatatvam chashabdata. Not vilakshanatvat. Because of the difference in characteristics. Asya of the Vedas. Tatatvam, the eternity, the authority. Cha and shabdata, from the scripture. No, the Vedas are not authoritative since they are special. No, the Vedas are not unauthoritative since they are special. They are eternal because of Shruti's statements to that effect. Okay, so it's not, they're saying is that it doesn't, it's not happening. I did the yagya, I didn't get the rain, so therefore the Vedas are wrong. And it says, no, the Vedas are not, they're special. Right? So they're eternal because the Shruti says so. Right? It's the authority. Because if you don't accept authority, what are you left with? Your mind. You can say as no, but I'll use my intelligence. No, you won't. You'll use your mind. Even though you use the intelligence as a technique, but what you're going to choose is the mind. Intelligence never chooses anything. That's not the point. Like when you have a discussion in your head, you know, whether you should do something or not, one is pointing out what are the effects of what you do, and the other voice is pointing out what you want to do. Does that make sense? So one is talking about choice, one is talking about making the choice, the other one's talking about the effects of the choice. So that's the intelligence and the mind. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the intelligence never makes a decision, it's the mind. So that's the fun part. The most intelligent people, it's still up to their mind. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so, and someone who's intelligent like that, you know, they're academics, they're nerds, they're like this. And so their choices of what they want to choose personally are different, socially different from everybody else. That's how they get the names. Like that. But it's still down to their mind. You know, they go to the comic book store and look at comics. The guy's got an IQ of 170, but he goes to the comic book store and that, and, you know, dresses up and goes to Comic-Con. You know, I said, you know what I'm saying? The kids, really smart kids. So how is it that they'll understand the Supreme Lord? They can't even understand other people. And they're saying, we're going to understand God, the absolute truth. Does that make sense? They can't even tell if someone's making a joke or not, or being sarcastic or not. They can't function. But they're going to figure out why the creation is going on. They can't even figure out why someone else is doing something. This is the whole point. So they're functioning simply on what their mind accepts. Right? So that's the whole point, is that the Veda, if you don't accept the Veda, what do you have? Because the alternative is your mind. And then the problem is everybody else is going to use their mind. So now you have 7 billion minds all with their ideas. And that's us. Now what about the animals, right? The ants, as far as they're concerned, it's their place. The rats, it's their place, right? You've brought so many nice grains into your house to feed the rat community. That's their take on it. Right? Isn't it? Yeah. So, like that.
Mind.
Yes.
To follow our mind means we can be extreme.
Yeah, I mean, it's always this extreme. I don't know if we were in Bhagavatam class yesterday.
No.
Yeah, no, that those questions, those are extreme. That's the most extreme I've seen. I've seen extreme, but that was extreme, extreme. You don't want to hear. No, you don't want to hear. I mean, it's like extreme.
So better not to go to the Gertan class.
Yeah, no, let's just hopefully, I'll just kind of not see that person when they ask questions. Okay, Sutra Prakashika.
We can say that the mind is more or less crazy.
The mind's crazy. If you just take the mind, it's just like having something blowing away in the wind. You know, what does it do? It just goes anywhere the wind goes. You know, wherever the currents go, wherever the motes. So unless it's rooted by intelligence, and that intelligence has to be rooted in the Veda. Right? So, and then how do we understand Veda? Through the Acharyas. So like that. So Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, that way then we understand, because we can say as no, but then it's just, why that? Why can't we just do it? But then it's just your mind. And that's it. And no one's going to agree. You can find a few other people who agree with you, but most don't. You know, even you take these great intellectuals in their own category, in their own field, they have very serious enemies that really don't like what they're saying, and they don't like what the others are saying, and they go on fighting until, you know, they get too old and all that, and then some young guys come up and then take over. You know, like some academics are saying that about you know, we're discussing something, and so why don't you present this nicely? And he says, he can't. I have to wait until the chair at the university dies, then I can present my point, my theory. Because as long as he's there, that's it. You can't go beyond that. If it doesn't agree with him, you won't get any facility, position, anything. You won't even, let's say you're doing a doctor, you won't get it. You know, so they say it's about the free thinking. No, it's about how well you can get in line with the mentor. That's what we say. And then we're the bogus ones? You know? Like that. So, yeah. And they claim that they're being free. Yes.
You're saying the scientists are inventing so many things. So, again, they're at the mind state only, not there using their intelligence?
Using intelligence as a tool, but it's the mind that chooses. Just like, let's say, you're going to cook dinner, okay? And then the next day you're going to cook dinner. And the next day you're going to, you know, and like this, you're going to be doing this for a long time. So, what is choosing what to be done? The mind or the intelligence? Huh? Really? Pretty good. Okay.
Mind.
Yes, because you're choosing, okay, you know, we had that taste yesterday, why don't we do this? Right? So that's what you're doing, but then you'll get it done how? By using intelligence. So we have to get this and that, put these. So it's used as a tool. It's like cooking. You use the pots, but it's not the pots, it's about what you're cooking. So the mind chooses what you do. You may use intelligence as a tool, but they leave the mind out of it, but they can't. You know, they think they are. That's why they claim they're objective, but they're not. They're totally subjective. Whatever the academy says is acceptable at this point, that's as much as you can say. You can talk about that, accept that, and then show some little bit alternatives, and then after a long time, you know, they might accept it. You have to wait. Unless you're trained in Greco-Roman theater, then you go ahead.
For example, like...
Or opera.
Give some experiences, like we have to basically. So, we know something about what's going to happen, because we are under the same circumstances. So, we know through experiences that is mind. So...
No, the experiences, but the memory of them, that's intelligence.
So, intelligence guides the mind, right?
It's supposed to. Yeah, generally, the mind just uses the intelligence to get its work done.
So, we know what is right and wrong. So, we can choose what is... we can choose what the mind chooses.
Right.
But intelligence can say, okay, this is right, this is wrong. So, mind decides. Basically.
Yes, the mind decides based on your identity. So the point is when the mind accepts that doing the intelligent thing is the right thing to do, then it will accept it. So when the intelligence points out what's the most intelligent thing and the mind's already accepted that value of doing what's most intelligent, then it'll work. Just like if the mind accepts I'll be Krishna conscious, then when the Krishna conscious alternatives are given, they will take them. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what we're doing, is trying to... In here, we're not trying to convince our intelligence. We're trying to convince the mind. Mm. It's because the mind wants to be the authority. Why I have to listen to the Veda? You know? It's old, it's archaic. Yes?
How is realization and mind different? Because...
Globalization?
Realization.
Oh, realization. I thought I said globalization and the mind. How are they doing? No, they're about to say. Realization and the mind. Realization means now it's a value. Because realization means now you see the importance of it, so therefore you do it. So just like we said, when you realize the importance of following Shastra, then you'll do it. That's realization. Right? Means if I see that it's an important thing to do, but in so many cases, well, I can't follow here and I can't follow there, and you know. Does that make sense?
But isn't it also coming from like mind? It's mind saying that, you know...
But the point is the mind makes the choice, but does it make the choice based on intelligence, or does it make it based on what it wants to do? Does that make sense? Right. Let us say we're having a bad day, right? It's an emotional day. So is it what we do and want to do and how we respond to how others deal with us based on intelligence or the mind? Yeah. And then there's other days when we can use more intelligence. Does that make sense? So the whole point is it's whether the mind accepts or not, but the point is are we using the intelligence and guided by the intelligence? The mind will make the choice, but are we guided by the intelligence, or are we telling the intelligence what to do? Does that make sense?
When we're thinking about kids, from what age can we say that they can listen a little bit to the intelligence of their own?
At any age. You have to cultivate it from the very beginning. So if it's always being cultivated, then according to the individual, it'll take, you know, longer, shorter, or certain areas they may develop very nicely, other areas are slower. Just depends on where the particular attachments are. You know. So that's the thing. Every individual is different, so therefore, in one area you'll see it'll be very developed, in another area not. You know, or it may be developed and suddenly it becomes regressive, you know, because they're a child, and then other times it's very good. Okay. So that's the idea. It's supposed to be adult, then it's not like that. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. The Sharikya Smriti and Yoga Smriti, which are written by jivas such as Kapila and Patanjali, is vulnerable to the four defects of human. But okay, the four defects of humans are means the four defects four defects of humans, or it's four defects of material consciousness.
Humans.
So demigods never cheat. They never tendency to commit mistakes. They never tendency to illusion. They never imperfect senses. Our dog never has a tendency to commit mistakes, imperfect senses, like that. You know what I'm saying? It means generally it's a different term, no?
Conditioned living entity.
Huh?
Conditioned living entity is usually the
term. Yeah, because it's when you're conditioned, then you're this, and if you're liberated, you're not. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter what this, because it's the conditioning is the thing. Okay. But, okay, four defects are cheating propensity, tendency to commit mistakes, tendency to be illusioned, and imperfect senses. So because of those, that's why if you depend upon the mind, you'll always end up with something that's imperfect. Because all these things will make it go wrong. Like that. You may have everything there that you could choose the right thing, but you don't necessarily. You know, and even if you chose today correct, you know, tomorrow you can't guarantee that. Because it's 50-50 chance here. I could choose the right one or not. You know? So.
That's what Prabhupada mentions in the books about the four defects of human beings.
But is it just human beings or is it conditioned?
Yeah, conditioned.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just say human.
Yeah, he's not.
Okay. So they're vulnerable to the four defects, which the Vedas are devoid of. Since the scriptures describe the Vedas as aparusheya, not spoken by an ordinary human being. Failure to obtain results from a Vedic ritual is not a fault of Vedas, but a flaw in the performer himself. Hence, the Vedas are flawless. Sri Govindabhasya. The Vedas are not an unreliable source of knowledge, as the Sharikya Smriti and Yoga Smriti are. Why? The sutra says, Vilakshanata. Because they have a fundamentally different nature. This means that because they were written by jivas, the Sharikya Smriti and Yoga Smriti are subject to the four defects of being prone to mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception. The Vedas, however, because they are eternal, are free from these defects. So they won't have these problems. while these others, they'll make this mistake. So some way there'll be something wrong. The Shruti says, Vacha Virupa Nityaya. O Virupa, the Vedas are eternal. And the Smriti says, quote, in the beginning of creation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke and from his word, the eternal, beginningless, endless, transcendental Vedas were manifested. From the Vedas, all other scriptures have come. Mahabharata 12, 231, 56-57. The Manu Smriti and other Smritis are authoritative because they have emanated from the Vedas. The eternality of the Vedas in this sutra is proved by the Vedas themselves. That is the difference between the current sutra and Vedanta Sutra 1329. Like that. Yeah. Okay. So, they're based on the Veda. So the Shruti is the Veda itself. It's emanated from the breathing and the words of the Lord. Then, Smriti is liberated souls who they themselves, understanding the Shruti, have in discussions amongst themselves on how to practically apply this in their life, we get this Smriti. So in other words, the Shruti is the authority, then the Smriti is how great personalities have applied it, right? So because they apply it in that way, it works. That's why it's called tradition, right? Because tradition means what works. You know, nowadays it's very popular that we're against tradition, but anybody who claims to be anti-tradition, you'll see that there's things they do in their life all the time. They always do it in a particular way. That's tradition. Why do they do it now? Because it works for them. But being conditioned, their tradition is at odds with actual, real tradition, which is for the liberated. So if we want to get liberated, we have to follow tradition given by them. Therefore, we follow the Smritis that are based on the Shrutis. But if we follow Smritis that are based on someone's conditioning, then the only fruit that it can give is more conditioning. Yes.
Talking about conditioning, sometimes devotees claim that the choice they make is neither from mind or the intelligence. It's guided by Paramatma. So,
and that, what's their connection with Paramatma?
Yeah, that's the question. On what level can we say that?
The point is what is said to be the closest to the consciousness of the super soul? Which material element?
Intelligence.
So what we call super soul is intelligence. We're calling it super soul, but it's actually the intelligence. But it's not that Krishna is not giving guidance, but it's coming through intelligence. Because the point is that therefore, if it doesn't make sense, if it's not, you know, it doesn't have that intelligent aspect to it, can we actually claim it's coming from the super soul? Because it's going to come through intelligence. Does that make sense? So instead, we'll say it's not intelligence, not mind, it's from the super soul, but we may see that they apply sentiment, so they just use the mind. So that's why there's a problem. But the point is, super soul is sitting there and guiding us all the time. Now, whether we listen or not is another thing. So the thing that, oh, super soul, it means as if it's, it means they're trying to make it as if they're special and unique because of this. But the point, super soul is in everybody's heart and telling them what to do. How do the animals know what to do? Right?
Well, apparently, people claim it's instinct.
Yes.
They
but,
just do.
Yeah, but why is it always the same? Otherwise, how is it that a dog over here and a dog in America, and they haven't, you know, where were the common genes? You know? So then why is it this dog and that dog, they all act the same? You know what I'm saying? If I took a red fire hydrant and put it out in the middle of the road here, as the local dog walked by, what would he do? Huh? Yeah. And so now if you have the same thing in the West, what will they do? It's always the same. Right? It's no difference. So that's because the super soul is guiding them. you know. But because the conscious is so low, they're not able to understand anything beyond just what the senses and the mind are dictating. But it's guided by the Lord. So they want to enjoy in this way, so the super soul then guides them how to do that. As a human being, they wanted to act like an animal, so then he puts them there, shows them now, okay, now this is how you want to do. So the whole point is that the super soul is guiding everybody. So the whole point is then the specialness is to recognize the following because this is what's given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we do it with devotion. Now you can say that's special. But just to make the thing super soul and all this, then what's the point? Why are they doing that? Why would they be discussing it?
It sounds really good. I'm guided by the super soul.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. It's about that. It's about a social prestige. It's not about spiritual life. Right? Because the result you're trying to get from it is karma. Because the point is this Prabhupada to the Shastras say? Or is that they're giving the general principle? This is the principle that the point you want to do, the detail you want to apply, is that in line with what's given here? And if we just say, no, super soul told me, it could be so many souls are telling you, you know? Like that. You get malaria, so many things happen, right? You know, so which souls there are telling you what to do, you know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that we have to use the intelligence. We that's why it's called buddhi yoga. So, yeah.
What do devotees say about that they have the sixth sense?
Devotees say they have the sixth sense. And what is this sixth sense?
That's my question.
No, but what is it? You can say, why six? I'm using my eighth sense. Someone else uses their spidey sense. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, everyone's using everything. The only time I've seen it is women have a sixth sense. That's there. So no matter what men do, women always actually understand what's actually going on. So, that. And so, if women say that, okay, if men are saying it, then sorry. Doesn't apply. Huh? Yeah, they don't even use five. Yes.
Whatever we think, which means we are still at the mental platform, if we are thinking that
soul
is guiding us from within?
No, the thinking means we're using the intelligence, the reasoning process, to understand how to apply the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra in our life so that we may please Krishna. That's proper use of intelligence. If we're just saying super soul and this and that, so why do you have to say these things? You know, what's the point? Just so that other people are impressed? Or why would you say that? Yes, but the point is Krishna going to inspire you in something that's not based on scripture? Since he speaks the Veda, so whatever he inspires you in is from the Veda, so therefore we'll refer it to the Veda.
So that is our checkpoint.
Yeah, because otherwise, how do we know that what you're saying is that? Because people all the time say all kinds of things. You know, super soul told that I should be the temple president. You know, yeah. So. Does that make sense? Otherwise, we can come up with all kinds of nice, you know, stuff. Super soul said I should get all the maha.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. But I should not have to wash the plate.
Sometimes you see this great personalities, like our acharyas, they also say, you know, that I am getting this intuition from Gauranga.
Yes, but they're liberated, so then you know it's correct. They don't have any of these problems. They don't cheat. They don't tendency to commit mistakes. They don't tendency to be illusion. They don't have imperfect senses. So if they say it, it's true. You know, and so if we're going to say it's coming from Super Soul, okay, fine. But then, does that mean it's our idea or Krishna's idea? Krishna's. And now, if it works out fabulous and everyone says that was so great, who gets the credit? Krishna.
Half and half.
Half and half. Okay.
He executed it.
Okay. He gave the idea, but we executed it. So, and proportion, who gets how much?
He needs only spiritual stuff.
Okay, so yeah. So I'll take all the 100% of the secondary aspect, and he can have the bhakti, yeah. Okay. Kind of like what is this? As you know, I get the form, and he gets the liquid inside the form.
But that's spiritual intelligence, not plus one, equals one. So it doesn't matter how much he gets; that's equal.
Yes. What do you call it? Number one here. So that's why we always check. That's why Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra should, between the three of them, match. So
when you speak about the Smriti, it seems that the real Smriti are written by liberated souls.
Yes, yes.
And the false, like...
not so real Smritis, yes, are written by others. Yeah.
So, what is Bhagavatam?
It's Smriti.
Okay.
So that'll be the perfection of Vyasadeva's documenting the Smritis, because in that it gives the conclusion of all other Smritis, like that. So you can see all other Smritis and the Shruti in proper. In the proper light, you know, the proper understanding. So for us, our book is Bhagavatam.
Previously, it says that the jivas, and the example was Kapila and Patanjali. And we said Patanjali is the Shaktivesha avatar. Did you say that?
No, it means they say that.
They'll say.
That's why when we saw in the Purva Paksha, then they said Lord Patanjali with a capital L, because they think he's the Lord, and so therefore whatever he writes is real, and even if the Vedas agree with that, then they'll accept that, and if it doesn't, then you know they'll have to. So that's the point, is everybody has there, you know. It's just like I think I saw a picture of it or something. It was some, you know, graffiti in London or something, how Eric Clapton is God. So, you know, because his guitar playing is so nice. You know. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is everyone has their deities.
Some of them also consider Amitabhachan to be God.
Amitabhachan to be God. Oh, okay. Wow. Amitabhachan to be God. He's so good. Yeah, he's just... I mean, they go, now it's only, I think, once a week on Sundays or something, at a particular time of the day or something, noon or something, he'll come out and give darshan. He comes to the second floor balcony, and people stand down there and they'll give darshan. I think he used to do it daily before, at his old place, but now his new place, he doesn't do that. Yeah.
How old is he?
Huh?
How old is he?
75 or something.
Oh, I would have said 237. That's the imperfect senses. Tendency to commit mistakes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, he's quite senior. But he's you know, the longest running. You know, he would have started like in his, you know, whatever, teens or early 20s. And he's still just as popular and all that. So because of that, then they're saying, you know, because he's touched so many lives by his you know, like that.
In Gita, Prabhupada sometimes refers to Patanjali Sutra.
Means the parts that are correct because they're based on the Veda. So Patanjali has given the delineation of how the mechanics of the yoga process work. So any of these six schools that are defining the mechanics according to Veda, that's acceptable. We'll quote them. But when they have a philosophy based on those mechanics, that's what we don't quote. Does that make sense? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.
Hare Krishna, may I have your attention? We have a short announcement. Tomorrow there will be no classes with you, neither morning nor evening sessions. We will resume on Thursday, same time. Today we do have an afternoon.